following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
My message to Bears fans is simple. We're going to get better. We will improve. I hear you. But I also understand this is just talk. This meeting's just talk, and we got to show actions. We got to show results. I fully get that.
That is the general manager of the Chicago Bears, Ryan Pace, at the postseason news conference earlier today. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Zach Zabin, joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. This is, to put it mildly, Tom, a critical offseason for this regime.
No doubt about it. And I hate the fact that we're talking about Bears football at Bears All Access this time of the year with nothing in front of us. We're not in the middle of getting ready for a playoff week. And then you listen to the press conference, and I got to say I was left with a frustrated feeling, because you keep making references to a 3-13 season, and the Bear alumni in me is really disappointed. The Bears season ticket holder in me is really frustrated, and the Bears broadcaster is really disappointed, because you sit there and you watch those games at the end, even though you can talk about the fight they had going down the stretch and the way they were in games at the end, you're in the games at the end fighting for an opportunity to be in the game because you are losing them at the beginning of the game. And so I do think there's a big hurdle that this offseason that you're facing, and that's about making sure you upgrade the talent significantly at some key positions, go out there and identify some players for the future, try to get some players that had good years this year to carry them into year two, three, so on and so forth, and then find out what you're doing with some key players like Alshon Jeffery.
Jim, I don't think there's a silver lining to going 3-13, and we didn't hear that from Bears general manager Ryan Pace. However, now that the offseason is underway, here's the reward for what, unfortunately, the Bears had to endure. Top five pick in every round. Top five in terms of salary cap money. So there is an opportunity here, if you make smart moves and shrewd decisions, where you can begin to put a team together that can compete in the NFC North.
There is no doubt. I think, well, here, let's start with a 3-13, right? It hurts even worse because two teams in the division are in the frickin' playoffs, right? Detroit and Green Bay are in the playoffs. So that, you know, it bothers you a little bit, especially when the Bears have beaten one of the teams. And I think Minnesota would have been in if injury wouldn't have derailed their season. You know, that's a good-looking roster up there. But you're right. In terms of offseason spending, Bears are going to have a lot of cap space, and they'll be players in free agency, right? Look, think of the Giants last year. How much they invest in their defense? Well, they're giving up 12 points a game the last down the stretch. They're another playoff team when you look at the Giants. Then you mentioned the young players and where they'll be positioned in the draft spots. You can move up, move down, be flexible to get the players that you target to be playmakers and critical playmakers for your roster. Last but not least, the ability to coach in the Senior Bowl. May seem small, but it's big. They'll be able to look at every single player, at least over 100 of them. That roster down there is 110, okay? Dallas drafted Dak Prescott. You know the guy who was standing on that table when Dallas Cowboys in the draft room was Scott Linehan. He was the only coach, says, Jerry, we need to draft Dak Prescott right here. This is our guy. This is our quarterback. We coached him. We got every intel on this player. Look what happened this year for the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody gave that team a shot in hell to win. Not only have one of the better records in the NFL, but to win the NFC and be the number one seed, their two rookies were the most impactful players, without a doubt, in National Football League history.
And John Fox talked about this today. He mentioned how he had a conversation with Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett about this, and that was one of the silver linings for Dallas last year, to be able to have that hands-on treatment at the Senior Bowl. Let's get to the news from today. I think the things that we learned, because there were reports all throughout the season about the Bears management structure and a consultant maybe coming in, this, that, and the other thing, and then Bill Polian's name popped up. George McCaskey said today, none of that is true, that the status quo remains, that he's comfortable with Ted Phillips as the team president and Ryan Pace as the general manager. And then John Fox was asked, because there's been a lot of rumors about what's going to transpire in terms of the coordinators. And he said today, the coordinators are staying, he used the word, intact, meaning Vic Fangio, as of now, remains the defensive coordinator. Dow Loggins remains the offensive coordinator. And Jeff Rogers remains the special teams coordinator. We'll continue to discuss everything we heard at Halas Hall today, including playing some sound bites from all the press conferences that took place. John Fox spoke, Ryan Pace spoke, so did the chairman of the board, George McCaskey. But joining us now live on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, he's one of the bright spots to the 2016 season, and that would be the starting center, Cody Whitehair, the second-round pick who flourished this year. And Cody, when the season started, you didn't even expect to be the center. Right before the start against Houston, they moved you to the center position. You had been working at left guard. When you look at everything that you went through from the day that you found out you were moving positions to now, can you take us through that roller coaster ride and how you feel?
Yeah, well, obviously I feel, you know, pretty blessed to be put in this situation and pretty blessed to make it through 16 weeks of my rookie season as a starting center. But, you know, up to that point, you know, week one, I came in Monday morning and found out I was going to play center. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know, you know, if I could do it. I was, you know, honestly lost at first. But I leaned on my teammates and my coaches, and they really helped through it.
You know, Cody, in the press conference today, Ryan Pace said that Hronis Gersou, and when he comes back, he's a one-position player, and he's a center. Every year that I left at the end of the football season, I always knew that I was coming back as a right guard. And I knew that's the way I was going to monitor my workouts, how I was going to come back, what weight I wanted to come back, how I was going to condition myself and everything. Now, Cody Whitehair leaves here, and with your versatility, you could probably play anywhere on the offensive line. And then when you take in consideration the statements about Hronis Gersou, what does that mean for your offseason? Will it change your offseason, alter your body weight, your strength, and or any way that you approach the offseason?
I think the way I'm going to approach this season is, or this offseason, is just, you know, focus on both positions. Obviously, more than likely, I'm probably going to play inside, whether that be center or guard. You know, so I'm gonna keep polished up on both positions, and you know, probably just maintain my weight. Obviously, get a little bit stronger because you can always work on strength. But you know, definitely focus on both positions because honestly, I don't know where next year will bring us. But you know, I am looking forward to it.
Well, hey, Cody, Jim Miller here, and congratulations, a fine rookie season for you. Just as you decompress, I doubt you even have done that yet, to really, you know, take in the entirety of your rookie year and what you need to work on, thoughts on the challenges, what were the difficult transitions to really move forward. I mean, when does that hard evaluation really start for you from your standpoint?
I think obviously, you know, I'm going to take a little downtime here to myself to kind of rejuvenate myself. But, you know, it'll start here probably next week with focusing on, you know, where I can get better, what I can improve on as far as, you know, technique and stuff, what I need to work on in the off season. You know, so that'll probably start, you know, in the next couple weeks for sure. Obviously, it'll start a little bit faster because, you know, we're not in playoffs, we're not in that kind of stuff. Where I do have a little bit more time to kind of focus on that kind of stuff.
Hey, Cody, you played with four different offensive guards throughout the season. How was that, and which one of them was the most unique? You know, because in each one of them, between Kyle Long, Josh Sitton, between Ted Larson and Eric Kush, each one of those guys is a little bit different. And was it ever, I mean, how was that transitioning period working with all those guys?
You know, I think it really helped me mature. As far as a young player, you know, not having the consistent camaraderie in there, I guess, if you will, the consistent knowing how somebody's going to play, knowing where that person's going to be. I think it really helped me mature. you know, I had Josh sitting in there with me, who honestly was, you know, one of the smartest guys I've ever been around as far as football knowledge. And then you got Kyle Long in there, who's just a freak athlete, you know, puts himself in positions where you didn't think he could get out, and boom, he snaps out of it. You know, guys like Eric Cush that never take a playoff, never take a moment for granted. Ted Larson, just a very savvy vet. You know, each guy's a little bit different, but they all cope well with me, and we all got along, and obviously we're able to run the ball and do some nice things up front.
Well, you created some good matchups for yourself this year. I'm looking at some of the D linemen you went against. Fletcher Cox of the Philadelphia Eagles. You look at Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Gerald McCoy. You went against that player. You look at the Giants, Snacks Harrison went against that player. Look at Detroit, Haloti Ngata. Good matchup there. Minnesota Vikings, Linval Joseph. Tremendous defensive tackle. Probably what was your toughest matchup? Where do you feel you really grew as a player going against top talent on the D-line that you face this year, Cody?
Yeah, it really helped me, especially in my young career, to be able to challenge those guys and give them all they want and give them a run for their money, I guess, if you will. I guess the thing that I really did week in and week out was just, you know, prepare for each one. Each guy's a little bit different. You know, going against Linval the last time we played, before we played him just a week ago, you know, I really studied that tape and kind of looked, as far as technique, how I can improve on him. You know, and I felt like each week, you know, I improved a little bit as far as technique-wise, and I think that'll carry over to next year.
Well, we are on the air with future Pro Bowl center Cody Whitehair.
And I like
Cody, I wanted to ask you a question because, you know, Dave Magazoo, heck of an offensive line coach, and I had a great offensive line coach in Dick Stanfield, but he played offensive guard, and so did I. But then you got Kevin Mawai there with you, and you're a young developing center, and he's probably gone through every experience that you could possibly go through throughout your career. How helpful was Kevin in terms of, you know, kind of telling you how things were going to happen before they ever happened?
Yeah, Kevin was great this year. Obviously, he taught me more than, you know, I could have ever imagined. Having a guy in there that played 16 years and now is you know, one of the finalists into the Hall of Fame. So, you know, to be able to learn from him is just a great honor for me.
And as we wrap things up here with Bear center Cody Whitehair, one of the things that was apparent to anyone who covered the team, and I was lucky enough to be there and so was Tom, this rookie class in 2016, you guys are very tight. I'm talking about you, Leonard Floyd, Jordan Howard, Nick Kwiatkowski, just to name a few. Do you guys feel the pressure to be the guys that help elevate this team from where it is right now? And what was that meeting like at the end of the year, Monday at Hallis Hall, when John Fox is addressing you guys? Because big things are expected of you going forward.
Yeah, you know, we don't want to ever be in that position that we were in this season. And obviously we know that it starts with us being that core group and that group of young guys to, you know, all of us hopefully come back next year and we could come together as one of our rookie classes to really get this thing turned around. And I know, like the rest of us, you know, on that rookie class, we don't want that to happen again. And we're going to put our best foot forward in that.
Cody, thank you so much. Good luck this offseason.
Thanks, Cody.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Bears center Cody Whitehair spending some moments with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. When we come back, we'll continue to break down what we heard from George McCaskey, Ryan Pace, and John Fox earlier today at Hallis Hall. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is hard for her. Every loss is painful. But she supports what we're doing. She's on board. Like every Bears fan, she wants more wins, and we intend to get them for her.
The voice of Bears chairman George McCaskey talking about the matriarch of the team, his mother Virginia, who turns 94 tomorrow. Yeah, these have not been easy times for the Bears, but this is the process of going through rebuilding, and that's what the Bears are trying to shorten, so to speak, trying to get out of the doldrums of a 3-13 season and put the team in a position where they can start to compete for division titles, make the playoffs on a regular basis, and start winning championships, something that hasn't happened since Tom Thayer played for the Bears back in 1985. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here. Another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. You can join us at 312-644-6767. Do you like the fact, Tom, that the Bears are keeping continuity in regards to the front office as well as the head coach and the coordinators?
Yeah, I am. But, you know, I think there's still that questions need to be answered because there's going to be so many jobs out there, guys getting jobs, friends that are going to get jobs that maybe want to go and invest in a buddy that they've coached with before and maybe elevate his coaching status around the league. So there could be still changes on this coaching staff. I don't think it's guaranteed that we are going to see the same coaching staff that left the building today that will start the season next year.
Head to Punta Cana with Apple Vacations and your favorite Chicago Bears players this spring. Visit applevacations.com/bears for more info. Jim, what's the number one question that Ryan Pace has to answer in regards to fixing the Bears this offseason?
Well, I think there's more than one. I think they still know the roster needs help in a lot of places. I think the areas of silver lining that if you do have a silver lining in a 3-13 season, I like the offensive line. I like the running back position. I like the defensive line. I like what's in place at the linebacker spot. I think areas of focus are receiver, tight end, quarterback, secondary. Probably a little bit more depth now that there are some injuries at linebacker. But overall, I think there are some silver linings, and there is a potential to have a nucleus moving forward. I mean, the one thing I don't like about coaching changes, whether it's in Buffalo or what's going on in San Francisco, you've got coaches now getting fired. Well, in San Francisco, it's back-to-back, one and done. In a place like Buffalo, it's every 2 years. I mean, you cannot build anything consistent, and you're not gaining on your competitors at all in your division when that happens. Bill Belichick has faced 23 new head coaches in that division alone. Nobody's catching them because those teams keep on panicking, going away from their plan, and then nothing of any nucleus is ever developed. I think I credit the Bears for not panicking. Let this plan play out. The nucleus is coming.
Jim, you understand the structure of a football team as well as anybody out there, and you understand the money that's dedicated to certain positions. So I'll talk about two. I'll talk about Alshon Jeffrey in the receiver position and the quarterback position as a whole. Is the guy here that could get you at the beginning of the season next year and get this season started, even if there's some competition there that may change midway in the season? And are you willing to dedicate the money that you need to, depending upon the direction you want to take with Alshon Jeffrey, long-term contract or refranchising him?
Yeah, I'm not willing to franchise him. That's goes up even more. He was over $14 million last year, right? He was betting on himself. He got suspended 4 games. He had 1 game of over 100 yards. I just think it's too difficult to franchise him at $17 million. And people say, well, you're crazy. Well, whatever. I mean, Cam Meredith, to me, showed me a lot. I'd like to continue to work with that young man. There's going to be free agent wide receivers, Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson of the Washington Redskins, both of them more productive than Alshon Jeffrey. That'll come for less money, would be my take. Let him go out in the open market, see what he's worth. If it's something that the Bears would match, then you have that option if you want to do that with Alshon Jeffrey. But I have a hard time saying after only winning 3 games that is a piece to the puzzle on offense that we need in order to win games. I don't think it really unfolded this year.
I think the most important position, obviously, is the quarterback position. Ryan Pace said today that Jay Cutler, who's still under contract, is ahead of schedule from his rehab standpoint and wants to continue playing. Do you feel as though he will be a Bear next season? And if not, how is this thing going to play out?
Well, I think in order to, we say it all the time, Tom has brought it up too, you got to have talent in order to replace talent. So I would think there would have to be something in place for the Bears to move on from Jay Cutler. I mean, you know, there are free agents out there. I've talked about Mike Glennon. There will either be other quarterbacks available via trade. You know, so those are possibilities. And, you know, I do think it's got to be under consideration. Which of these quarterbacks that are currently on the roster do we think about re-signing? Is it Connor Shaw? It sounds like they liked him coming out of training camp till he broke his ankle. I think Brian Hoyer, I would approach him after he played well in four games. Say minimum, you could lock him up for, I don't know, maybe a couple million bucks a year. I thought he played well in his four-game stint for Chicago. Over 300 every game, really didn't turn over the football. Granted, they didn't put points in the end zone, but I think that was a struggle for any Bears quarterback that lined up.
Yeah, well, Jim, my question even more is, so you're okay with the production out of Brian Hoyer, but what about the red zone for the Bears this season? Because I think that was one of the haunting statistics of lack of production, and it affected the entire quarterback. So is it something that the offense has to do better from the 20-yard line in, or is it each something that the quarterback didn't bring to that area of the field with him?
I equate the Bears in terms of the red zone kind of to the Baltimore Ravens because they had a lot of moving parts in and out of the year, meaning from offensive line changes, receiver changes. Granted, the quarterback stayed consistent, but he was coming off an ACL and the lack of run game. I just think it was a lot of moving parts and variables in and out of the lineup that all had to be managed by offensive coordinator Dow Loggins. That's not easy going through three different quarterbacks, number one, not to mention all the other issues going on offense. I thought the only criticism I have of Dow Loggins, I thought it took him a little bit too long to figure out what he had in Jordan Howard, and everything could have been based off that in terms of play action, and then maybe their red zone could have been better. But let's be honest, their number one red zone threat should have been Alshon Jeffrey. Where was it? Yeah. He had two touchdowns. So we want to franchise this guy for $17 million and he had two touchdowns? I mean, literally, Matt Barkley had one less touchdown than him in terms of a touchdown reception. So just trying to put it in perspective. That's all I'm trying to do. I think they can be better on offense, and I think Dowell actually learned a lot. I was impressed with what he did towards the end of the season. Early in the year, I thought he was like a C, C minus, but towards the end of the year, Dowell was growing on me with what he was doing. So to me, he finished with a minimum B, B minus. I think he had some great play calls versus blitz and how he incorporated everything with all the variables that were in place in terms of the new players that were on the field.
And I think that's one of the reasons Ryan Pace said today that he feels comfortable adding a rookie quarterback to the mix and having that guy be nurtured by Dow Loggins as the offensive coordinator and Dave Ragone as the quarterback's coach. When we come back, and you can join us at 312-644-6767. So you heard some of the discussion there in terms of the quarterback, but let's talk about the big names that could be available that are playing in the NFL right now, and if that makes sense for the Bears. And who are some of these rookies, Jim, that we should be keeping an eye on? Let's take a break. Your phone call's coming up next. It's Bears All Access. Tom Thayer's here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. 312-644-6767. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
In my mind, there's no more important position than the quarterback. It's a critical, critical position. And I know and I recognize that the decision that we make on that quarterback is going to be significant for all of us, for the direction this organization is going to head.
Bears General Manager Ryan Pace talking about the most important decision that he's going to be making this offseason, picking the quarterback of the future. Zach Zaidman alongside Jim Miller and Tom Thayer here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. You can join us at 312-644-6767. I have a lot of quarterback questions, but let's first get to the calls because I know they've got a lot of questions for you. On the road, Ray, you're on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber.
Thanks a lot. I think Jim's being way too kind to Dow Loggins. I've been sitting down there for 30 years. I had given him a D or D minus at the beginning of the year. The reason Alshon Jefferson catching touchdown passes is they aren't throwing to him enough or calling the right plays to get the guy open. You saw him get open later on in the year, and they just weren't hitting him. Maybe he's got an overall C average, but, yeah, missing Jordan Howard for four games, the guy could have beat Zeke Elliott this year as a first-year running back. I'll wait for your response.
Yeah, here's what I think the problem is with that, because when you look at it, guys don't practice in pads enough, but you don't know what you have in a player, in a guy like Jordan Howard. And I believe that's exactly what Dow Loggins talked about. And he's not the only offensive coordinator that is fighting that right now. That goes for offensive linemen. That goes for receivers. Say, how do you test it? See if a guy is tough going over the middle, whether it'll take a hit. These guys don't practice in pads anymore, man. You can't even evaluate that, let alone want to get guys hurt in a preseason game. So it to me, it takes longer to find your identity as an offense is what I'm saying. And I interview, basically go to about 25 training camps every single year. Dow Loggins' response, it's no different than any other offensive coordinator. It takes them longer because they're not in pads enough to even evaluate the players that they have. And that's exactly what Dow said, I believe, a week ago about, hey, we didn't know how he'd react in games, how he'd take hits, how he'd hit certain things, because you're never in pads. You're never in inside run, never working on the fundamentals in terms of the mesh of the run game. That's just a modern-day NFL. It's the way it is nowadays.
Even in the offseason, get round-the-clock news and updates straight from the team. Follow the Chicago Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat today. Back to the phones we go at 312-644-6767. Tony in New Jersey, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Tony.
Okay, so basically, here's my point about the quarterback position. I understand there could be a couple options there at number three, but the reality is, say they take a rookie guy, you know, go the rookie quarterback, and they go through another season like this, John Fox certainly wouldn't be here to see the end of that quarterback regime, and maybe even Ryan Pace. So I think for both of their sake, I think they're going to probably want to go with a veteran guy, maybe like a Romo or a Tyrod Taylor if he's available. Or the go trade route, you know, with Garoppolo or something like that. What do you guys think about that?
You know, one thing, Tony, that you do know going into the season that you didn't know next year is that you got a quality running game in Jordan Howard. And I think that's the biggest help for any quarterback, whether you're a veteran guy or a developer. The thing about it is even going to Ray's question about Dal Loggins, I need a higher percentage of runs called. Because when you go back two games ago when Matt Barkley had his five interception game, three of those five interceptions were on first down. Now, if you give that first down carry to Jordan Howard and he has his 5+ yards per carry production out of it, now you're putting them in a second and five scenario, and it changes the whole complexion of the defense, how they're going to defense your formation, if you're going to go play action, if you're going to go misdirection, moving pocket, or even a downfield opportunity. So I think that the quarterback decision It could probably be made a little bit more with a clear conscience because you have a solid running game. To me, I don't want Tony Romo because look how often he's been injured in the last couple of years. And he's making, I think, $19 million this year. If Tony Romo comes in here and you're going to say, Tony, you're going to be our starter this year, is he negotiating from $19 and above? And now say he gets hurt in the third preseason game or the first, second, or third regular season game. To me, I need to identify a quarterback that's going to be here for years to come, not just a one-year expensive guy.
312-644-6767 is the number, and you'd have to trade for Romo, I think, as of right now. It's kind of a similar situation to Jay Cutler where he's still under contract.
Right.
The other question, and Jim, you can expand on this a little bit. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, Matt Barkley threw that five interception game against the Washington Redskins. Kirk Cousins could be available. There are a lot of people that say, hey, go out and get that guy. But if you go out and you pay big money to a guy like Kirk Cousins, or you make a trade for Jimmy Garoppolo in New England, you're giving up draft picks and you have to sign him to a long-term deal. And as we learned from the Cutler experience, if you're paying big elite money for a quarterback who needs help around him to win, and we're not talking about Brady or Aaron Rodgers, that sets you back as an organization.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think, you know, there are different models around the NFL. To me, the model the Bears are utilizing, they want to get younger. They want to get younger at the position. That's what Seattle did with Russell Wilson. You know, there are other teams doing that right now with their young quarterback. Say, look at Dallas right now. They're getting younger. They've moved on to their quarterback of the future, and they're paying him peanuts. Granted, he's a fourth-round draft pick. Nobody expected that of how he performed. But that's, I think, the model of the Bears. So to me, it's going to be even a young free agent. That's why I keep on bringing up Mike Glennon of Tampa Bay. The guy is out of contract. He's won games in the NFL. He's got, granted, it's only about a 13 starts under his resume, but I'd rather sign a veteran like that as played, draft a young quarterback, bring him along the right way in order to address other areas of the team that need to be addressed. That's the model that the Seattle Seahawks utilized in order to find their quarterback and Russell Wilson. Now, I'm fine with the draft or the Bears drafting a quarterback, just what, just like free agency or just like the draft, it needs to be the guy you believe in. I don't care if it's Deshaun Watson, Trubisky, or Deshaun Kaiser, whoever, Kaya, whoever it ends up being in this draft, don't overdraft him. Even if you have to trade down, get him. Who knows? Maybe it's a second-round guy. Maybe it's a third-round guy like Russell Wilson. And
Jim,
then build your team.
I got a stupid hypothetical question for you, so live with me. Mm-hmm. You put Dak Prescott back in the draft this year. Is he an automatic first-rounder?
I think he would have went in the second round if he didn't have the DUI before the draft last year. I really believe that.
Okay.
But yeah, knowing what we know now,
yes,
you'd say a first rounder.
Okay. Is that guy out there? Is there that guy that's kind of built like Dak Prescott, has the college career he had, is interesting athlete, but he doesn't, you know, these guys get too caught up in the size of quarterbacks nowadays.
Hold on. That's a great question. Let's hold it off until we come back to the next segment. Oh, so, Jim, think about it. I want your answer next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Probably one of the most important attributes, your decision-making, and that's critical. You know, again, John referenced it. When we're, you know, bottom in the – if you look at our turnover ratio this year and we're bottom in the league, look at the bottom five teams. They're all bad teams right now. We got to get out of that category. It starts with not throwing interceptions.
That is the voice of Ryan Pace, the Bears general manager. And on the flip side, he talked about taking the ball away too, and he blamed himself, said when he looks at the secondary, it's on him to fix it.
That's wrong. That's just absorbing the blame for something that you're not, that you had nothing to do with. I never saw Ryan in a backpedal, in shoulder pads, helmet, cleats, or anything like that. So I understand what Ryan's trying to say and absorb some of the blame, but that's unfair to him.
Basically, he's saying the Bears need more playmakers, and it's up to him to go out and get those impact players this year. Again, they have some quality picks, top five picks across the board in this draft, and top five in the league in terms of cap space to work with, so they can go the free agency route as well as the draft route.
Right.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, airing every Saturday at 6 p.m. on My50 or Sunday 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32. Go to ChicagoBears.com/InsideTheBears for more info. And this week, an encore presentation, Leonard Floyd buckles up for big guys in compact cars. Sam Accio hosts a celebrity waiter night. And former Bears tight end Dustin Lineman on his new role as CEO for a really sweet company. So tune in to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Inside the Bears. All right, before we took the break, you asked Jim a question, a hypothetical, about the quarterback situation.
Yeah, I asked him if Dak Prescott went back in the NFL draft this year, would it be a big guaranteed first rounder? But then I asked him, who is the Dak Prescott of this year's draft? That he's got all the traits, but someone might have to take a little bit of a chance or a little bit of a flyer on him.
Jim?
Yeah, I think, well, there's a lot of guys with intriguing traits. I mean, the problem is you got to do a lot of homework on these guys, like Brad Kaya of Miami, because a lot of these guys just declared. I would say that about Mitch Trubisky from North Carolina, because he's got intriguing, you know, the guy was Mr. Football. Well, how the hell does Mr. Football of Ohio end up at North Carolina? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he's early declaration. Same with Kaiser. There's just a lot of work about it. I think, you know, like Kaiser's got a really strong arm. Each of these guys have intriguing qualities about them, but you really have to do your homework on them, because a lot of them are underclassmen that are declaring. I think there are some guys that are diamonds in the rough, but they're probably later-round draft picks, fifth, sixth-round guys. When you look at C.J. Beathard from Iowa, because I know he's well-coached, he's got a big arm, play-action pass. Like, he fits what the Bears are doing, is what I'm saying. That guy's a big, strong pocket play-action quarterback. So, you know, but I'm just getting started because the Senior Bowl will be next week. So I know who Phil Savage, who I talked to the other day, invited down there, Josh Dobbs, guys from Tennessee, a couple of Chad Kelly will be there from Ole Miss, but he's coming off an ACL. So it really, I hate to really bow out of your question.
No, not at all.
Just a lot of work that needs to be done on these guys. There's not a lot of clear-cut, you know, front runners. Like last year, at least we knew Wentz and Goff were the front runners. You know what I'm saying? This year, there really isn't a front runner.
312-644-6767 to the phones we go. William on the southwest side, you're on Bears All Access.
Hi, good evening, everybody.
Hey, William.
I'll make it quick. I've got a two-part question. Okay, I'm 56 years old. I've followed the Bears since before Dick Butkus. Now, my question is, how many top NFL players are leading their teams in the NFL right now that were taken below the first round? And my choice is for the Bears to go after a nice defensive player out of Alabama. I won't say any names.
Alan.
And and then just take a chance with a quarterback in the second or third round, because we're not going to go to the Super Bowl next year anyway. I'm a Bears fan. I'm a realist, but it's I think it's better that way. I'll just sit by for your answer. Thank you.
You know, Jim, I do think you have to focus your attention on the best possible player out there. If it is not the quarterback and you see the great defensive lineman, offensive lineman, or the safety, or, you know, the position that's out there that could be most helpful to this football team. And then I think you have to investigate every round of quarterback possibilities. It's just, you know, you can't only live with that first round quarterback where you might overreach for a guy that shouldn't have been, you know, should be lingering around in the third round.
No, all good points. I think as it relates to the depth of the draft, and again, this comes from the executive director of the Senior Bowl, where the draft is going to be strong at is tight end, which it's literally 14 deep, you know, starting with the kid from Alabama. The tight end, it's deep. Cornerback is deep, and safety it's deep. You know, starting with Adams, the kid down there at LSU. The last time I believe a safety went top five was Eric Berry out of Tennessee to Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken. And he's
correct.
A free agent this year. But corner, the Bears need all secondary. It's deep in all those areas. And I do believe the Bears need a game-changing tight end, whether it's Jake Budd at Michigan. I mentioned the kid at Alabama. They're literally 14 deep at tight end, and that's a position that's also been lacking for the Chicago Bears.
Basically, they say, just from talking to all the different experts here, they say that every position, it should be a fairly good draft, and it's very deep at all positions except for quarterback and offensive
but
line.
Give, you know, like the safety hit, the safety that the Giants hit with this year, you go look at his production, look at what he's been able to do for that defense.
You're talking about Landon Collins.
Yes. Yep. Look what he did for that entire back end of that defense. And that's something the Bears have been missing now for I don't know how many years.
Since Mike Brown.
Right. Even Mike Brown was probably less athletic than you would like to ultimately get in the draft. But his desire, his instincts, his inspiration play, all that benefited the Bears.
But, Jim, isn't there something to be said where the Bears are picking right now? This is if they keep that number three overall pick. There are certain positions that you just can't get later on in the draft. Meaning, generally, when you pick in the top five, you're looking quarterback in whatever order. You're looking quarterback. You're looking pass rusher, you're looking corner, you're looking left tackle. These are positions where if you're looking for that elite level player, going to be tough to find later on in the draft.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You know, whether it's Myles Garrett, the guy from Texas A&M, you know, we talked about Jonathan Allen. No, yeah, I agree with you. I think those are the big body theories there. You know, there's only so many guys that walk this earth that can do what they can do. And, you know, I'm not saying that if it's from a quarterback standpoint, I know supply and demand drive quarterbacks up, but I think, you know, you can't ignore that position. Even if you think it's your guy, I think you take him where the Bears are, or minimum trade down and then acquire more picks, still target the guy that you want, no matter what position it is, if it's corner, safety, or those top guys that'll be there waiting for the Chicago Bears. I think they're in an excellent spot. They can do a lot of things. Last year, who pulled the steal of the draft was John Robinson of the Tennessee Titans. Look how that guy moved down, still then moved, traded back up, and got Jack Conklin. Was that guy not – and Tom, you're an offensive lineman. That guy's an all-pro as a rookie, as a right tackle. I want solid freaking players like that. That's what I want, and I think all the Bears want,
you know,
guys like that.
Cody Whitehair could be, and he will be, a future Pro Bowler. But the thing is, you don't want to do is you don't want to be haunted by the Jake Longs or the Ryan Leafs. Guys that you think are determined to be great, and then you get an injury-plagued career like Jake Long, or else you get the scenario Ryan Long lived through.
Ryan Leaf. Back out to the phones we go. Barry and Alsip, you are on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. A couple things real quick that I want to point out. I'm not a big Jay Cutler fan, but I look at the overall picture of what he's had to deal with and everything else, and I would really like to see the Bears just turn Jay Cutler into like an older version of Dak Prescott. Go out and get him an offensive line, a number one that can protect him. Because when he's upright and he's got a decent tight end and maybe a couple of receivers, he's okay. He finally has a consistent running game. I know I'm going to upset a lot of Bears fans when I say this about Matt Forte. He was a great runner, but when you got down to the five-yard line, Matt Forte was not a guy who was going to pound it in and score for you. So I would spend those draft picks getting that offensive line, taking care of that back part of the defense, and maybe finding a quarterback in the later round and keep Brian Hoyer around as a backup to Jay and go from there. I'll hang up and listen.
You know, Barry is making good points, because if you did want to stick with Jay Cutler, you better be willing to run the ball more than 50% of the time. Adam Gase, 54% of the time they ran the ball, and you know you have the running back in place with Jordan Howard. The best you're going to get out of Jay Cutler is if the running game is equally as important part of the success of the offense that the quarterback is.
And Jim, the reality of the NFL is this. Let's be honest here. This is about money. And if you feel like you can get the same production that you got out of Jay Cutler from somebody who can do it for less, that's the way it's going to pan out.
I don't disagree. And again, I go back to, I believe the Bears want to get younger at every position. They've gone from one of the oldest rosters to one of the youngest. And now Jay, what is he going to be, 35, I believe? So I can't discount what the caller is suggesting, because, again, you have to upgrade that position or replace it before you start to rid the Bears of any players. So whether that's Brian Hoyer, whether it's a Glennon that I talked about bringing in and then drafting a guy, only then that decision could be made. It could be a draft day trade where if Jay is removed from the roster, it could be that day. Maybe it won't be for a lot of compensation, but you're probably going to hold on to that commodity until you replace it. It would really be my take. The only problem, and I think Jay's a great guy. I love his work ethic, all those. And I think he's a tough guy. I don't like the sacks that he takes, and I don't like the turnovers. It's too much for all. He gets sacked once out of every 11 throws. Why is it under Barkley and Hoyer? Is it once every 33? That's concerning to me. And it should be concerning to the coaching staff.
And you heard what Ryan Pace said at the beginning of this segment. 312-644-6767. Kevin on the road. Kevin, you're on Bears All Access.
Hello.
Oh, did you hang up on Kevin?
No. He's there. He's there.
Kevin.
He's there.
Hello. I would not take a quarterback until at least the fourth round. I would get the best offensive lineman in the first round, the best corner or safety in the second round, the best tight end available in the third round, and then start looking quarterbacks. The one thing that's going to happen at the end of the 2017 year that has never happened before, there's in the mid-20s of the number of NFL quarterbacks with time starting will be free agents at the end of the 2017. Plus, the 2017 draft's going to be much better than the 2018 draft will be much better than the 2017 contending quarterbacks.
Heck, can I get that kid from USC right now? That kid's a freshman.
Right.
Did you guys see that guy?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that throw he made at the end. But, no, you bring up good points about that. Next year's class, probably, you know, it's like anything else. You got to do your homework on these guys. No matter who the Bears draft, and I don't care what round, they're not ready to play. I mean, Jared Goff, the reason why he did not get on the field as early as what he wasn't ready to play. Carson Wentz was ready to play, but they limited, did the things he did well, like at North Dakota State. And I'd say the same thing with Dak Prescott. A lot of times when you're going to that younger quarterback, it's by happenstance. We've had this conversation before. Ben Roethlisberger was not expected to play as a rookie for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Maddox get hurt, they have to put in Roethlisberger. Same thing for Joe Flacco. They never wanted to play Flacco year run. Troy Smith gets, laryngitis or whatever it was. Flacco, you're in there. He's got to play.
Right, and remember, Tony Romo gets hurt. The backup there was Kellen Moore out of Boise State, who played for the Lions briefly. He got hurt, so they were forced to put Dak Prescott into the lineup, and voila, they got lucky. Let's take a break. We'll come back, wrap things up. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I knew this wasn't an overnight fix. And I think you got to be careful with that sometimes. Sometimes, hey, there's a little bit of a panic on, oh, and then you start reaching for bad character guys or big contracts on you know, wrong players. I think we got to be calculated and measured why we're going through this, and we will be. Patience is hard. I get that. We got to prove it on the field.
That's Ryan Pace, the Bears general manager. His boss, the chairman of the board, George McCaskey, saying today that he's not a patient man, but yet he told Ryan Pace he's going to try to be patient through this rebuilding plan, and it's not easy. Join the season ticket priority list for the future opportunity to become a Bears season ticket holder. Visit ChicagoBears.com to join now. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. And when it comes to being patient, you know, one of the things that you look at is, okay, these last 2 years have been awful for the Bears, but now you have a critical offseason and you can do something about it. Top five picks in every round, top five in the NFL in terms of salary cap space. You have to make your move this offseason.
Right. But, you know, the thing about it, too, is you're not handcuffed, Zach. You have everything you possibly need to make that improvement in this season. And there better be evidence at the end of next season, because I don't want to sit here 1 year from now at the end of the regular season and have this woe's me type of attitude. Because they put it out there on the table today saying how they have all these assets to work with. Now they got to turn those assets into victories, into wins, into the future, into performances.
Jim, yeah. One of the things that Ryan said today that I thought was very interesting is before you can start to formulate your entire offseason plan, you have to truly look hard at your roster and be extremely honest as to what you have and what you don't have. I guess the easy part is when you have three wins, there's not a lot that you do have. So what do the Bears have?
Well, I think it's blatantly obvious. You got a secondary that can't get an interception. They can't create turnovers. You've got a receiving core that can't stay healthy. You got a quarterback position that coughs it up like a Pez dispenser. I mean, it's pretty obvious to see. I like how they've attacked both off seasons. That getting those two linebackers last year, that they addressed a serious area of need. I think the front seven was a serious area. They've attacked it every year. They've done it with the offensive line. I think they just got to continue with their plan. These guys can identify what they need, but it's glaring what the Bears need. They can't get turnovers, and they from the offensive standpoint, they can't score, and they turn over the ball way too much. If you just have that formula where you play good defense, run the football like Tom Thayer's 85 Bears, and you don't turn it over, you can win a hell of a lot of games. And that is true to this very day. To this very day. Look at the New England Patriots. They lead the league in rushing touchdowns, 18, with LeGarrette Blount, and their quarterback has only thrown two interceptions. Two. They're the number one seed on the AFC side of things, and they play good defense. They give up 15.6 points per game.
Jim,
not,
I want...
It's not that hard. It's not that hard.
Jim,
that's what needs to be done.
The time has come to say goodbye. Save some of this stuff for the rest of the offseason. We'll be talking every week here on Bears All Access. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman, saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.